Caller, you on the air?
Yes, sir.
This is Gabriel?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Let me give you the clap like always. It's how we start out. Welcome back, man.
Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Not bad, man. It's a really good day for us today. Last week, I was in the building with one of our co-hosts. Her name is the 18-wheeler. Shout out to the 18-wheeler.
Yes,
she had to take her son to the doctor. But today, I'm in the building with my main man, Slay Diddy, and the Dirty Dog himself. We call him a Dirty Dog because we can't trust him, man. We can't trust this guy. But his name is Tim, and he's a good guy. He's a sport guy, Tim Martin.
Yeah.
So, can we do a little recap just so people who might didn't hear the show, you could just tell them who you are and a little about yourself?
Sure. My name is Gabriel Day. I am a minister, a Christian artist. I'm also an artist manager, also do promoting events. And pretty much when it comes to gospel music, man, I'd like to look at myself as being like a one-stop shop for everything through a company that I founded called Last Trump. And so the short version of the story is I grew up in church up until the age of about 15 years old, 14, 15. I strayed away, ended up having a baby. The child was born when I was 16. And so I just began getting into a bunch of trouble, man. Went out into the street life in upstate New York, and I was hustling and just doing you name it, you know. I kind of got, you know, I left home, so I was just, like, out in the streets, and I kind of got, like, adopted by, you know, the drug dealers, the you know, felons. Everybody who I was hanging with was a felon in some way, shape, or form, man. So it was like that became my greatest influence, was just kind of getting schooled. And these cats were probably like 10 years older than me. So they were just, you know, putting me on to a bunch of stuff that they were heavily involved in. And so at an early age, man, I just got really tied into the streets heavy. And, you know, coming out of the church, you kind of have a chip on your shoulder, like you got something to prove, you know what I mean? And so a lot of times I was going beyond where most people would be willing to go in order to, you know, in order to just gain my credibility. And so just that whole mentality from about the age of 15 on, which is really a big developmental period of life for a young man.
Yeah.
That was all created in a street environment. And so gone were the days of the nice little boy that the church folks seen in Sunday school. You know what I mean? So it just really became one of them things where my heart was cold, man. Hard heart. And I ended up getting some prominence in the streets. You know, I was about 25 years old. I was pulling in six figures just from hustling.
Oh, where?
And and you know, it was like
you was doing it, dog.
It wasn't a game out there. You know what I'm saying? It was it was a lot of activity going on. And so, you know, from that, you know, I felt like I had power. I felt like I was where I wanted to be, because it wasn't always like that. I mean, 15 in the streets by yourself, it's like you're going to struggle, you know what I'm saying? And so I had my rock bottom moments, but it definitely got to a point where I felt like everything that I've been hustling for, everything that I've been building up to was happening. And so I was just like at a place that I wanted to be in. I had a lot of control over certain things that were taking place. I had, you know, what I would deem as power. I had influence. I had fear. I had all of these types of things. And so I'm sitting back and looking, and I'm like, yeah, this is where I want to be at. I'm the man out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the mentality that I had, man. And, you know, I would see different people from church left and right, and they would be like, man, you got to come back to church. And don't you want to be saved and different things like that. And I remember telling my pastor's son one time, I was like, man, I want to be saved. Like, when I was little growing up, that's all I wanted was to be saved, go to heaven, all them things. But, like, I was at the point where I didn't even have a desire for it. So I was like, I wish I just had the desire, let alone actually doing it. So that's how far away I had gotten from that life, man. And so it was, like, at that point where one day I got this message on Facebook from my pastor's daughter, who I hadn't seen in at least like 3 years. And she said, hey, Gabe, she said, I believe that God wants me to give you this message, and I just want to be obedient to him. He says, choose you this day who you will serve. And so, you know, it doesn't sound all that deep or anything, but it's taken from a scripture out of like the book of Jeremiah, mm-hmm. or Joshua, I mean. And so long story short, when I read this message, man, the weight that came behind the message, it was like I felt like I got hit by a bus, because it just, like, all of a sudden my eyes opened up to almost like everything. It was like I realized no matter how much money I had, no matter how much power I had, no matter all the women that were around me, all the influence and everything else, if I was to die in that moment, the only thing that would really matter was whether or not my life was right with God. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When I have to stand before God for that judgment, it's like, what's he going to say about my life? Because money ain't going to get me far after this life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And neither is my friends, family, or whoever else. So it just really put emphasis on my relationship with God at that point, man. And then everything else began to seem very minuscule. And so after about 6 days, because I mean, I had to wrestle with that, because I'm like, I'm tied in heavy now, you know what I mean? I'm like, I got this money, I got these females. Yeah, it seemed small in that moment, but you know, it was still what was in front of my face daily, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I had to wrestle with this idea of, man, I really need to get right with God. And at the same time, like, how am I going to stop doing what I'm doing? Like, this is my life. And so, man, after about 6 days, I was drinking. Like, I would drink every day because, you know, a little bit of the other side of my testimony, a little bit of the darker side was, you know, dealing with depression, dealing with anger, dealing with just a lot of different things, alcoholism, dealing with all of that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. so the chains, you know what I'm saying, the mm-hmm. the bondage that comes along with that life. And so I literally just kind of, no matter how much I would drink, I wouldn't get drunk. No matter how much I would smoke, I wouldn't get high. And so, like, after smoking a bunch of blunts and drinking a bunch of bottles and still feeling empty and still not being able to shake that feeling, after about 6 days, I called the pastor up, and I went up to his house to talk to him. And I told him, I was like, you know, I told him what had been going on. And, you know, through that conversation and praying with him, I surrendered my life to God, man. And then ever since then, I've just been kind of just on a new mission in life, you know. Allowing God to totally transform who I was and into who I'm becoming. And it's just been a daily journey, man, of just awesome experiences with God.
Would you being, is this the correct term, gospel rapper or gospel hip-hop? Is that, what's the correct term?
Yeah, I mean, it's called Christian rap, gospel rap, Christian okay. hip-hop, gospel hip-hop. You know, it's just rap that's, you know, me being a Christian, not only rap, but pretty much everything that I do stems from a core value of beliefs that I have. You know what I mean? My convictions, my belief system, and who I am and what I represent. So some people say I'm a Christian who raps. Some people say I'm a Christian rapper, but either way, I think that when you listen to my music, the message and what it's centered around is pretty clear. So I let people formulate their own opinions.
Who were some of your influences musically? on both sides, you know, like on the hip hop side and even on the Christian side. Because, you know, when you think of, and I know that he doesn't do Christian rap, but you automatically think of Kirk Franklin. You know what I'm saying? He was one of the first people to really bring that different touch to it. So who were some of your influences?
Man, before my BC days, before Christ days, I was a Jay-Z. I was Jay-Z.
You know? Which one? Well, like, I mean, Jay-Z, what, the Black Album Jay-Z, Blueprint Jay-Z? Slay Diddy is a big Jay-Z fan, so.
Reasonable Doubt.
Just Reasonable Doubt? Yeah, Six Figures, yes, Reasonable Doubt.
All the above. To me, it was like, you know, if you rock with Jay, you rock with him, man. I've thrown the diamond up and all that. Like, I was part of it. So, you know, I was definitely listening to a lot of East Coast rappers, Fabulous, Dipset, 50 and the G Unit and all them. Okay. And then, you know, I would listen to a little bit of T.I. and GZ and Lil Wayne and guys like that, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, it was definitely more New York influences than anything else. Biggie, of course, and, you know, cats like that.
Right,
and then there's the underground scene in New York is heavy, too. Like, I'm in the Midwest now, but there's a lot of cats who people out here never heard of that are monsters, you know, that people in New York are really familiar with. So,
yeah. Quick question before you go, move on. The GOAT, Biggie or Pop?
Oh, man. I mean, it just depends on who you ask, I guess.
I'm asking you. So, so there you go right there, bro. I'm asking you.
On the spot.
I mean, for me, I think the Jay-Z is...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't even put one of those two in a category. And I think that, like, I think that culture, man, really makes you feel like you have to choose. It's like the Kobe and LeBron argument. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
I might ask automatically. That yeah, it's like for me, I'm the type of person who just appreciates contributions that people make to a culture. Like, I'm the type of person who likes Kobe and likes LeBron. You know what I mean? Because they're both beasts in their own right. And I think that because we're so focused on pitting them together pitting them against each other, it takes away that the influence that they really could have had to make a difference. So it's like, you know what I'm saying?
I love that answer, but my question is, if you only could listen, I love that answer. It's so politically correct, you know. But if you only could listen to one, like, you gotta go to the DJ. You gotta request one or the other. You can't hear them both. You can appreciate them both, but you only can request one. Who's it gonna be?
Man, when I was listening to them, I'd probably say Biggie, just because of New York. You know, I was so New York heavy.
Yeah.
But
Slay would have went with Pop. Slay, you would have went with Pop, right?
Nah.
Oh.
For me, it's you can't really pick.
You got to pick one. You're going to the DJ. The DJ say, listen, you could get one request, bro.
It depends what type of party it is.
But the one song could start the party.
Yeah.
And I'm going with Bull Ish and Party from Biggie.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a lot of pop joints that get. So, like, when I talk about hip-hop and when I talk about the, you know, the greatest, I feel like you can't, like, they're like Ali.
Yeah,
like, you can't mention, you know, them. You got to start with someone else. Like, they, like, you know, beyond the list of top 10. Because,
all right.
You know, when every time I watch the Pac movie or the Big movie, I feel like I'm shocked when they die every time. I'm like, oh, they got them. And I know this that happened 20 years ago.
Stupid, man.
Like, but people, they are, like, they're immortalized. But my whole thing is, like, again, if you look at back in the day, man, when Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and all these other African Americans were influenced, they would get together. They did their thing competitively, but outside of those rings, I mean, you see pictures with all of them alongside Martin Luther King, you know what I'm saying, in front of different spheres of influence, just trying to draw awareness to, like, the whole movement, like the whole civil rights movement. You know what I mean? And, like, nowadays we got athletes like Colin Kaepernick who can't get a job because he's kind of like isolated and on his own trying to take a stand to raise awareness for certain issues that African-Americans deal with and different things. And I mean, I really feel like a Kobe Bryant and a LeBron James, athletes who are prominent, who are both great, get pitted against each other because they want to take away the power that united influence could bring. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so I just steer clear of, like, the separation. Like, those are conversations that I'm like, man, here we go. You know what I'm saying?
So,
I feel you, though.
You're not the best gospel rapper I know?
Am I the best you know?
Yeah.
It depends on who you know.
Oh, man. Boy, you good. You are good. let's talk about your album.
Nah.
Yeah, nah. You're the best I know. Talk about your album, Signs.
Man, Signs. Signs is definitely, it's my latest project. I just dropped it May 12th. And it's definitely a solid body of work. I think it's something that people are going to look back on in a couple years and say, man, this was pretty classic. Only because the theme behind it and everything is really dope conceptually.
Mm-hmm.
Every song is named after a sign. So, you know, the songs are like One Way, Stop, Yield, Dead Ends. And each song just kind of represents a different influence or a different influential circumstance that kind of took place in my life. And so, it debuted on 3 of Billboard's charts. It was number 3 on East North Central Heat Seekers chart. And then it was, like, also on the Christian and Gospel album sales and the Christian album sales chart. So I was grateful for that debut because I did it independently through my company, Last Trump, and it had, like, no financial backing or anything. It was just an independently dropped project. So definitely grateful for that, man. You'll hear a lot of different styles on there, a lot of different beats. And the lyrics are definitely impactful. I really confront issues in society and issues in the church because I feel like when you look at what's going on in the world, it's not difficult to see what kind of day and age we're living in. You know what I'm saying? The world's different from how it was 20 years ago.
Indeed.
10-year-olds are dealing with stuff that we wasn't dealing with when we were 10 years old.
No.
You know what I mean?
I agree. So listen, like always, like I told you before, man, we want to stay connected with you. And let me tell you something. My name is Vern. This guy right here is Slay. And I've gotten the word that you will be playing in this year's celebrity basketball tournament. Now, I am 2-0 in coaching. I am the coach's coach. I am the guy. Mm-hmm. So if you want to win, bro, you might want to ride with me. I'm just going to let you know that right now. My man Slay Diddy, he just won the primary, and I'm happy for him, but he ain't beat me in a celebrity basketball tournament.
I didn't get him, but that year is done.
Yeah.
It's on to new. So if you could play.
That's what I was going to ask him.
If you could play, like if you nice.
Yo, he a big dude. Like he a nice size dude.
If you tired of your coaches being all up in the interviews,
what are you talking about?
All up in your music, come on down and play for me.
All up in the press conferences.
All up in the press conferences.
This dude, man.
Come and play for me.
Nah, man, you know what? It's just going to be a breath of fresh air to have someone like you in our city, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Tim Martin, the Dirty Dog.
Absolutely.
He is our sports editor, so you will meet him too. He does a lot of writing for us. He's at the tournament also. And I want to thank you. I want to thank Rashad. And I have a radio show. We are on the air every Wednesday. Just continue to send us music. I actually bootlegged your music off of YouTube, dog. I'm going to tell you that right now. I had to get something. But if you want to get my email, you send me music, man. I'll put your music in rotation and we'll play it. I'm going to play it as soon as we get off the phone with you. We're proud to know you. Your story is amazing. And congratulations, man. That's basically for me. Tim, got anything to say to the young man?
Just keep on doing what you're doing, man.
Diddy,
I appreciate you all. I'm grateful for the opportunity. definitely looking forward to connecting at the basketball game, man. I'm definitely grateful for that opportunity as well. And I think I'll be performing out there as well. So
that's even better, man.
And then also, man, like, I'm always traveling and looking for outlets to impact youth and young adults and just people everywhere. So, I mean, if you know any organizations or any churches or anything like that that are looking to bring somebody in, one of the things that I've been doing recently is just kind of connecting with people in the streets who are, like, hustling, who want to get off the streets, and just trying to show them how to transition from being a drug dealer to becoming a business owner, you know what I mean?
And
cleaning up, you know, just trying to clean up the streets in that way. You know, a lot of times we hear you got to grow up, get a good education so you can get a good job. Mm-hmm. And once we mess up in school or drop out of school, we just turn to drug dealing because we never really understand that we have more options than that. And so I want to show people what their options are and show them how they can, you know, really just take a different path in life, man, and be more successful.
Well said.
All right, bro. So listen, man, stay up and stay in touch, and I'm going to get you my email. I'll send it to Rashad, and we'll get the email, and you start sending me some music, man.
All right, sounds good.
Sounds good. All right, man. Thanks, Gabe. Good luck to you, man.
All right.
Appreciate you guys.
All right.
Yep. Peace.
I got to give that man a clap, man. Mm-hmm. I love his story, man. It's just something about it.
Great story, man.